Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Have you been looking forward to today? Getting out to the house of the Lord. You know, the days go by so fast, don't they? You know, we're getting through one day and all of a sudden it's just like you're not finished that day and the other day has started, it seems. And that turns into weeks and sometimes into months, and it's the same idea. Before we know it, we're into another day, into another Sunday, into another week, into another year. That's right. Before we know it. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I pray that as we gather together, we will sense, we will feel, we will acknowledge the presence of the Lord, and that our hearts will be blessed, our hearts will be challenged, our hearts will be renewed, we will be refreshed, we will be a people on fire for the Lord, we will be a people ready to serve the Lord, and we will be equipped to do for Him something that He has planned for us to do in this week. And it is good to see everybody. We're going to start with the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 through 8, that says, "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. There is no other rock. I know not one." And with that, we're going to stand together and sing the song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." There are three verses. We're going to sing the three verses of this song down through together, please. Seated. When we were singing that song together, I gave some thought to how firm was my feet planted this week. Did I find that I was trudging through the sand of the circumstances of this week, or was my feet planted firm on the solid rock? Sometimes circumstances can dictate how our day is, how our day will be, how our week will be. But we can't let circumstances define who we are, particularly in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that no matter what the storm, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, whether it be health, whether it be family, whether it be resources, whether it be financial, on Christ, in Christ, through Christ, we are assured of his solid foundation. Christ is sure. And as long as we stand firm in him. Just one thing. A little later in the service this morning, we're going to have an ingathering of our CANS partners in mission. There have been envelopes provided. And the envelopes, they say home missions. But if you want an envelope, we'll just recognize that for this Sunday, if there's an envelope in the collection plate that has home missions on it, we know that it's for partners in mission. So if you'd like to have an envelope a little later on the service, just acknowledge to Donna, and she'll see that you get an envelope if you haven't prepared for one this morning. The song says, "Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found." We stand. Well, I'm going to allow you to sit this morning. So we sit on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. I want you to draw upon the Lord this morning. I want you to have in your heart and in your life and in your mind no doubt in your relationship with Jesus. If there's doubt, fear, anxiety, discouragement, depression today in this place, then from the very commencement of our service, I want to assure you that the Holy One is here. Jesus is here. He is here to meet your need. One of the things we have to do is surrender. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. To surrender ourselves, to surrender our circumstance, our situation to the Lord. Surrendering is one thing, but leaving it with the Lord, that's another thing. It's a hard thing to do. We can come, we can pray, and we say, "Here, Lord, I commit it over to you today." But for some reason, we've all been there, for some reason, a few minutes later, we've taken that burden upon ourselves again. I want you to assure yourself, as I want to assure myself, that as we sing this song together, that we can come to a God who's loving, caring, and forgiving. Let's sing this song together. Be still.
Please stand up.
want to keep that third verse up on the screen for a moment. We're going to offer a word of prayer, but after I pray, I want us to sing that third verse again. This verse speaks about the Lord moving in this place. It speaks about that as He moves, He comes to cleanse, He comes to heal, He comes to minister. The writer of this chorus, this song, reminds us that there is no work too hard for Him. But in faith, we receive from Him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we come. Lord, I pray that we come as people who are vibrant for the Lord, people who have a zeal, who have a desire to let their light shine for Jesus in this dark world. That God, we come this morning prepared and equipped to be used for God. But God, we come this morning recognizing that this week, now behind us, has been a week of reward. Perhaps this week has been a week of laughter and joy, but perhaps this week has been a week of discouragement, sadness, despair. And so, Father, I pray that as we come this morning, God, I pray that we come with the joy of the Lord. But, Father, we come this morning asking for a fresh new touch of Your presence upon our lives and upon the lives of the people that we are thinking of and praying for today. Lord, we pray for our world today. The need is great. The threat of war, the act of war, the unrest, the indecision affects us all. We pray for world peace. We pray for our country, O God. We pray for the decisions that are being made that affect our country, our province, our communities. We pray for the leadership. We pray, God, that they will have attentive minds and a will that's in tune with Yours. God, we pray for our church this morning. We pray that, God, for these Your people, this congregation, we pray, God, that You will bless us, strengthen us, heal, restore us, not only for those of us who are here this morning, but for those who represent our core and our church. I pray for Alton and Carol. Oh God, You know the situation of their life. You know what's going on in Alton's life. You know what's going on in Carol's life. We pray for healing, strength. We pray for medical direction. Think of Dave Boone. God, such a long journey he's been on. And so, Father, I pray for the physical. I continue to pray for the healing of his body. But God, I pray for his mental state as well. It can become very discouraging and hard upon him. And Father, we pray today that You will bless him in that hospital bed. I pray for Sandra, day in and day out by his side. I pray for his family. I pray for strength for them. I pray for Emily, oh God. I pray for the path that she's on, the road that she travels. Sometimes that road is a lonely road. It's an uncertain road. But God, I pray that this morning that she would know through the support of her parents, through the prayers of this church, and for the presence of your Holy Spirit that's with her today, that she will find strength that she didn't even know she had. For Jeff Page, for Brian, and for Amy Puckering, for Joan and for Paul, for John Goodyear, for Martin, for Alan Taylor, and we pray for Major Roxina last week. We pray for her journey. We leave these people with you today. And God, as we leave these people with you today, we pray that you will give them a faith, that you will give us a faith to know that you are there with them, you are fighting for them, you are carrying them when they feel that they cannot go any farther. We pray for our service this morning, for every song, your word. We pray, God, that today will be a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Move among your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that third verse again. Be going to sing a chorus together. Last Sunday, I introduced a chorus to you. Well, this Sunday, you're going to introduce a chorus to me. Now, you probably know it. I don't. Now, the reason why we're using this chorus this morning is this chorus is a chorus that we're going to be using for our anniversary weekend. And this is just a taste. We're going to get to know it a little bit if you don't know it. And it was used back on your 125th anniversary, and it will be used on your, I'll say our 140th core anniversary. And it says, all through the years, his providence has led me, his abounding goodness has been all my song, and through the years, I tell his love and mercy, singing hallelujah. Now, what would you guys sing it? You would say Ebenezer, right? As the years roll on. So I'm going to ask Gwen and Carol if they would play it through, and then we'll sing it. I just want to share with you some announcements as it pertains to this coming week, and also we'll have the in-gathering of our partners in mission, specific for, and you'll see there's a basket laid here, so what I'm going to ask the musicians to do is whatever your selection is, we'll play that through, we'll come forward, put in our partners in mission cans, envelopes, whatever in the basket, and then the ushers in the persons down there will come and then receive our offerings for the morning. Okay? Clear. Sure it is. Donna has a sign-up sheet in the foyer for the Evergreen, which is happening on May the 9th, and of course, the Sunday of May the 5th, if you could sign it before then. If you plan on attending, that would be very much appreciated for that. I just want to share with you a reminder that the library, we have a library. You know that, right? And we have some books back there, books for all, I'm going to say all occasions, but there's something there for everybody. And I just want to remind you that if you want to go down to the library and look at a book or check out a book or whatever the case might be, it is there for you. And you can use that. And we picked up some new books over the course of the last few months. So there's quite a few books down in the back in the library. So avail of that. Take opportunity to do that. I will be away starting vacation on tomorrow, and I'll be away for a few weeks. You can see there who's participating, taking part in the services while I'm away. Be in prayer for them, and just ask God's guidance and direction upon their lives as they prepare to share the Word of God with you over the course of these next few weeks. Again, June 6th through the 9th, we'll see our amazing journey as it unfolds before, starting with a Thursday, the Evergreen, moving into the Friday with the youth. The Saturday is the men's breakfast in the morning. Saturday also ladies' event in the afternoon. Saturday evening there's an anniversary drama. And then Sunday our services with Commissioners Lee and Deborah Graves. It looks to be a very promising and rewarding weekend. And I pray that you'll keep that in your calendars and be mindful as that comes upon us real quick. Next Sunday, the tickets will be available for the dinner, lunch, after the service. My daughter Katrina is always reminding me, Dad, it's not dinner, it's lunch. For me, it's breakfast, dinner, supper. But she says, no, Dad, it's breakfast, lunch, dinner. And so I always say dinner. But anyways, it's a lunch. So tickets will be available next Sunday for the lunch following the anniversary service. And the tickets are $10 per person. And if you're 12 and under, it's free. All right? And we have 150 tickets that we're going to sell. That's where we're going to cap at 150 for the anniversary weekend. So you want to get your tickets early. Want to ensure that all tickets are sold for the anniversary weekend. So, we're going to have a prayer over the Partners in Mission offering as well as the offering for this morning, and then we'll just follow suit to receive the offerings for today. God, our Father, we thank you. I think we can't thank you enough. You've blessed us over and over and over and over. You've blessed many of us with family, with friends, with good health. You've blessed us with a home. You've blessed us with resources. You've provided financially for us. And so, Father, this morning, we're just going to give back a small part of what you blessed us with. And so, God, I pray that this morning that you will receive these tithes and offerings as a part of our worship, and that these monies will be used to further extend your kingdom, not only here in St. Catharines, but throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. invite you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This will begin a three-week series. Now you're saying, I'm doing it this week, and then I'm going to be gone for three, and then... But I just thought I'd just let you taste it a little bit, and then just get a little introduction to it, and then when I get back, we'll do two more in the series before the anniversary weekend. James chapter 1, starting at verse 1, going down to verse 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Not lacking anything, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. We shared that earlier, right? Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unsustainable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning.
Major's already prayed for the peace in this world this morning. And we have come to accentuate that thought, because the peace, P-I-E-C-E, that we are going to play, it's called Peace to the World. And it was written for these 10 individuals. You won't hear this piece anywhere else in the globe except this morning. And this is why. There are people who need loving in this world. You agree? There is loneliness and heartache in this world. There is conflict. There is friction, abuse and addiction, mistrust and deep affliction in this world. We've all been there. We've all seen it. We see it every day. Nations rise against nations. Opposition parties rising against parties that are in power. People on the street against the police. Defund the police, they say, so we can take over. However, the peace that we're after here is the peace that comes in our hearts. Jesus Christ came to be the peacemaker, to give us peace. And I'm honestly believing if more people had peace in their heart, there'd be less wars out there. Peace to the world.
Thank you.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song before Catherine comes to share in a vocal. We have not known thee as we ought, nor learned thy wisdom, grace, and power. The things of earth have filled our thought and trifles of the passing hour. Lord, give us light to see the truth and make us wise in knowing thee. Let's sing the first two verses together, please. Says, we have not loved thee as we ought, nor care that we are loved by thee. Thy presence we have coldly sought and feebly longed thy face to see. Lord, give a pure and loving heart to feel and know the love thou art. Verse 4 and 5 together.
If you'd like to follow the words to the song I'm going to sing, it is in the songbook. It's number 646, Here at the Cross. The melody is written by a session mate of ours, Wilf Ratcliffe. Emily is starting treatment number 3 now for her cancer. She was receiving immunotherapy, which are chemicals that boost your immune system and help it recognize and fight cancer. But they can't get her off steroids, and steroids suppress your immune system. So the two were counteracting each other. So they suggested a third treatment. It's chemotherapy by pill, and she started it yesterday. The list of side effects is long. And if she gets even some of them, her next few months might be difficult. When I was receiving the medication the other day, the pharmacist said to me, don't lose this bottle of pills because it costs $10,000. for a month. So I said to myself, thank God we live in Canada, which has health care, Medicare. And thank God. God is giving me many verses, lovely verses in Scripture. And one that I found this week that I'm not, yes, there it is. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And some days we feel weary with the caregiving, and yet we feel what a privilege it is to still have her with us and to be getting to know her in this way. And we pray that every day we give her the love and attention and care that she needs and that sustains her. And we thank God for his grace.
Service, fit me,
introduce to you a couple that we've been seeing the last few weeks in our service. I had a conversation with them last week, and I'd like to welcome Roger and Shirley to our congregation and to St. Catherine's Corps. Good to have you. You may have heard the story before, and if you have, I apologize, but sometimes it's good to hear a story the second time, nonetheless. But if you haven't heard it, just give a listen to. The story that I'm going to share with you is taken from a book, Mac Lucado's book, In the Eye of the Storm. Anyone read his book, In the Eye of the Storm? Yeah? All right, so you're going to know the story. He tells a story about a parakeet named Chippy. That ring a bell? All right. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She put the end of the hose into Chippy's cage to clean the bottom, and then the phone rang. She turned to answer the phone, and barely said hello when she heard Chippy was sucked into the vacuum. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and quickly opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and dirt, she raced him to the bathroom, turned on the water, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted Chippy with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the traumatic event called Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, the owner replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from any stoutest of the stoutest hearts. Sucked in, washed up, blown over. Isn't that sometimes how you feel in life? When life hits you hard? Anybody ever feel like Chippy? Scott Peck begins his book, The Road Less Traveled, with a three-word sentence that is packed with simple yet profound truth. It reads, "Life is difficult." And he is very right. Life is difficult. Have you ever heard anyone say that life was going to be easy? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, today we're going to begin to look into the book of James. And we notice that the first subject that James tackles in his book is the problem of trials and temptations. James knows that the recipient of his letter, they are facing many trials from without and temptations from within. For this period, many of the readers have been forced to leave their homes. Jerusalem is under the threat of persecution. They were living in places new to them, and they were living among strangers. They were having to adjust to an entirely new situation. And the message that James wants to give them is the message, I believe, that he wants to communicate to us through his holy word about trials, about suffering, about persecution. The biblical record shows that the people of God over and over turned defeat into victory and into triumph. So, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials you're going through, no matter what difficulties you are going through, the Word of God reminds us, it tells us that for the faithful, for those who place their faith and trust in the Lord, those trials will be turned to victories through the grace of God. Now, this morning, I want to share with you five truths that are discussed from verses 2 to verse 12 of James chapter 1. And I hope that this morning that these will help turn our trials into triumphs, our trials into victory. Now, the first one is this, and we see this coming through in James chapter 1, verse 2. Our toughest times can be marked with joy. Our toughest times can be marked with joy. Oh, I want to say it a third time. I'll say it again. Our toughest times can be turned to joy. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." One thing we all know is that our lives are marked with trials of many kinds. When we examine the trials that we face, we notice perhaps that we fall into three different categories. One kind of trial is that in which we bring on ourselves. These trials perhaps are results of our own foolishness and our own disobedience. Another kind of trial comes upon us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Those of us who are faithful followers of Jesus will not be understood by those who are living accordingly to the things and to the patterns of this world. And that will result in persecution. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. It is not the easy way. It is the right way. It is the narrow way. It is the tougher way. And it will result in trials, but those trials will turn to victories as we learn to put our faith in Jesus. There's a third kind of trial that has a sense of mystery to it. It doesn't come because of our foolishness. It doesn't come because of our disobedience. It doesn't come because we endeavor to be faithful to Christ. It is the kind of trials that are common to all people. And the Bible declares in Job 5:7, "Man is born to sorrow as the sparks fly upward." This is what Job experienced when he tried to honor the Lord, but things became very difficult. We must confess that sometimes we are plagued with difficulties that go beyond our explanation. There's no way to explain it. Trials just occur. And so what James is alerting us to is the fact that each kind of trial tests our faith and it develops perseverance. Tough times builds us into this quality of perseverance or endurance, as other translations may put it. James begins by declaring that because of this, you and I, even in the most difficult times, are privileged to have our lives marked with joy. Now, we must be careful to understand what James is calling for here. He is not suggesting some kind of gratifying happiness in the hurts and losses of life. He is not saying that we are to enjoy being sick. He's not saying that we are to enjoy losing a loved one. He's not saying that we enjoy getting laid off from work. He is not saying that we enjoy being persecuted. This is not some weird kind of denial that life often hurts. But James is telling us to celebrate because we have a loving and powerful Lord who will bring us through the problems, that will bring us through the trials. And it will be stepping stones to maturity. We can find joy in knowing that our trials don't have to get the best of us, but rather they can become our greatest blessing. Paul wrote from a Roman jail in Philippians 4 and 4. And what did he say? Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Tough lessons. But a truth revealed to us through his word. Secondly, perseverance produces maturity. James continued in verse 4 of chapter 1. He said, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Perseverance has an ongoing function to bring you and me to maturity, to completeness. I don't know what your trials are, only through what I hear and what you tell me. You don't know mine. But I know that God can be at work in all of them, and through them, perseverance that produces a mature character. God wants us to get from babes with milk to solid, secure Christians eating the solid food of the Word of God. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. What happened to Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. It wasn't right. It wasn't the right thing to do. The story doesn't end there. We see then that he is double-crossed by Potiphar's wife, who falsely accused him of sexual advances, thrown in prison. He must have felt deserted by God as he languished in prison for many months. But we see that through these experiences, his perseverance and his faithfulness to God produced maturity. A complete man was no longer the spoiled child with a coat of many colors. He was prepared to be the second in command only to Pharaoh. So you see, his trials produced in him perseverance, and in perseverance, maturity. Think of Moses. Moses, 40 years as a fair-haired boy in the courts of Pharaoh. Then there was 40 years in Sinai's wilderness tending to sheep. This crazy mix of good times and bad times, marked by a steady trust in God, show that perseverance produced character that was needed to face Pharaoh to lead the Jewish people out of slavery. And at this point, this 80-year-old man had his toughest 40 years ahead of him as he led the people of God through the desert. God allows our faith to be tested so that out of the long haul, testing produces perseverance, which produces maturity, maturity in the faith. Every person who has gone through tough trials will tell you that they don't want to go through it again. But perhaps wouldn't trade the lessons learned and how the individual was developed and strengthened and encouraged. Trials can bring out the best in us. Yeah, it can bring out the worst in us too sometimes. But in developing our relationship with Jesus, trials can show us what we are made of and make us better than we are today. Thirdly, God promises wisdom, James 1 and 5. If there's anything that we have a constant need for, it is wisdom. James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generous to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If we are going to be joyful and persevere through our trials, then we are going to need wisdom, wisdom beyond ourselves. There's much that could be said about this point, but let me just briefly say the following. First, we want wisdom. If we want wisdom, then we have to begin by admitting that we don't have it. Second, we have to recognize that we cannot produce it in ourselves. We must do our part. We must get into the Word of God. We must get into prayer, meditating upon the Lord. But Solomon says in Proverbs that these words are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. We are to ask God for wisdom. And we are to claim the promises of God. We need God's wisdom to navigate a life with trials. Fourthly, this morning, faith is critical for perseverance and wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, it says, but when he asks, when you ask, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. You know, when I first read this verse, it troubled me a little bit. It troubled me a little bit because I doubt. There are things in life that I doubt. There are things in life that has brought discouragement where I felt defeated. But then as I studied this verse more and more, I realized the truth of this verse. If I'm to be a child of God, if I'm to trust in God completely, which I strive to do every day, there shouldn't be doubt in my life. I should believe. James is not saying that there is no room for doubt. Jesus himself commended a man who came to him and said, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. James is emphasizing the importance of authentic belief as a person's basic lifestyle, as a contrasting it with a lifestyle of doubt, of casting doubt. James says that the doubting person is like the wave of the sea that is blown this way and that by the wind. At some point in our lives, we have to make a faith decision. Are we really going to trust in God completely? Elijah. Think of the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah poses this question in 1 Kings 18 and 21. He says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Joshua confronted confronted them in a similar way when he said in Joshua 24, 15, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." If we don't make a decision of faith, then we're going to be like that little boat in the middle of the ocean. The life of faith doesn't mean that we have all the answers. It means that we are putting our confidence in the one who does. It means that in the midst of our trials and doubts, we take a stand on the promises of God. We sing it, "Standing on the promises of God, my Savior." Fifthly, if you're keeping track, you know that I said at the beginning, five things, so we're on our fifth thing. All right, fifth point. There is a promised blessing that goes with perseverance. In James 1 and 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown, the life of God promised to those who love him." This verse looks a lot like the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. When we have stood the test, there will be a reward. The word for "stood the test," dokimos, appeared on pottery that had been tested in the kiln and passed the test. If a pot cracked while being fired, then it would be inscribed with a dokimos, meaning disapproved. We all want to be approved by God. Right? Absolutely. Not disapproved by God. The greatest incentive we can have to overcome our trials is the awareness of the reward promised to those who endure and conquer. In reflecting on the promises of life in relation to a promised home in heaven for overcoming them, we can join Paul, who said in Romans 8:18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." James begins this portion of Scripture with joy, and he ends this portion of Scripture with joy. Remember Chippy, the parakeet? When he was sucked in, washed up, blown over, what does it say? He lost his song. He just sat and stared. Well, I pray that for us this morning, that we don't lose our song. We don't lose our song. I want to say that this morning, God will turn our trials into triumphs. Our faith in God will allow us to keep on singing. For great will our reward in heaven be. So what truths have we learned this morning? First, our toughest times can be marked with joy. That perseverance produces maturity. That God promises wisdom, and we all need wisdom. Can't find it in ourselves. We can only find it in and through God. Faith is critical for perseverance and wisdom. And finally, there is the promised blessing that goes with our perseverance through the trials that we face. Well, I'm reminded of a song that says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." But this is a taste. And when I get back, we'll look at, we'll continue to look into the book of James. But as we reflect upon what we shared together this morning, I'd like for us just to sing a song, turn on our songbooks to Psalm 519. And it says, "Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor shall I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee." Let's sing the first two verses together. Savior, thy dying love. Says, "Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wonder sought and won, something for thee." Let's stand together. We'll sing the fourth verse of this song, and then I'll ask the band to come and take their place as well. The fourth verse together. Concluding song is Psalm 27 that says, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand, bread of heaven. Feed me now and evermore." Let's sing the first and second verse together, please. Thank you. I tread the verge of Jordan. Bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. The final verse together, please. That tune. That's a good tune. O Father, let thy love remain. O Son, may I thy likeness gain. O Spirit, stay to comfort me. O Triune God, praise be to thee. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I stand today to ask that on behalf of this congregation, Lord, that we'll have a great week. We'll have a blessed week. We'll have a week of reward. Now, Lord, help us to understand that there may be trials. There may be uncertainties. But, Lord, I'm reminded of an old hymn that says, with Christ in the vessel, I'll smile at the storm. So, Lord, just bless us today. Go with us, allowing us an opportunity to meet together again. But Lord, if not here upon this earth, may we one day gather together around the throne of God. In Jesus' name, amen.